Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and the gentlemen of the band. Thank you for waking us up so beautifully this morning. Hello. Good morning. Very quiet this morning. Must be because it's Mother's Day and you're all behaving. Thank you for that beautiful acknowledgement, Betty, of all the mothers in our world. What would we be without them? And a special welcome to Dr. Lisa Garcia and Joe Garcia visiting us from our community in Reno, Center for Spiritual Living there. Thank you for joining us this morning. They're right there. Say hi. Constantly trying to lure Dr. Lisa to speak here. One day I will be successful. I will use blame and shame. Actually, that's part of the topic this morning. You'll see how it fits in. Because we have a very odd topic this morning. You know, it's Mother's Day and we're talking about the law of cause and effect. And the theme for the month is compassion. And the affirmation for the month is I care for the poor. That's, how does that all fit together? That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to unpack in 20 minutes. Yeah. I'm so glad that last week, Reverend Masando, he helped set us up right with the difference between pity and real compassion. I hope you enjoyed his presentation. So I watched and I really enjoyed it myself. Thank you. Chandra did. Thank you. And next week, we're having another one of our favorite presenters coming to speak, Reverend Andriette Earle from the East Bay. And she's coming up to help us identify more specifically, what does it mean, poor? Who are the poor? That's going to be really interesting. And by the way, the reason why I'm getting an extra Sunday off this month is because next week, Kevin is graduating from his master's degree program at SSU, and he told me I better be there. Yeah. A master's in marriage and family therapy. I'm just going to leave that alone. Let's talk about a more accessible topic, the law of cause and effect. So let's dive in right away and let's see what it is, first of all. The law of cause and effect, Dr. Ernest Holmes says, is the law of perfect balance, of logical sequence, and of inevitable consequence. Whatever a person sows, they must reap. In other words, our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, it is said, determine our personal reality. Now, why would we have this topic in a month when we're trying to develop our compassion? You know, especially for people who do not have access to the resources that are necessary for a healthy, vibrant, happy, comfortable life. Well, I think there's a really good reason why. And it's because the law of cause and effect is one of those spiritual teachings that can be used in an unkind and uncompassionate way to make people feel terrible about the circumstances of their lives. You know, when it shows up in the question of like, ooh, look what you've done in your consciousness. What have you done with your thinking? You know what I'm talking about. My dog, Cooper, he already knows when he's done something wrong. You know, doesn't need me to tell him. If I'm not home and I've left an empty, well, it could be a box of empty crackers. No crackers in there. And it'll be on the coffee table and he'll get up onto the couch and then he'll like maneuver himself. I've got security cameras. I can see it happening. And he gets over to get the box and then he shreds it. So then I come home and I look and I say, what have you done? And as soon as I say those words, it's boom on the floor, you know, belly up, legs air, and the shame and the guilt just pours out of him, you know. What have you done? That's all I have to say. And sometimes in metaphysical communities, that's how we use the law of cause and effect, to blame others and ourselves with the question, what have you done in your consciousness? We can do better than that as a teaching. We can do much better than that. You know, another thing we do with the law of cause and effect, we use it to hide behind when we think such things as, that's your mess, and it's your mind, so it's your problem. You know, when we think such things as, problems are caused by people who are experiencing them. It's got nothing to do with me. Oh, some of the missing elements in that approach are kindness, compassion, and charity. The Dalai Lama said something interesting about kindness. He said it's the foundation for so many other noble values, and that without kindness, well, things fall to pieces. I mean, after all, I mean, here's a good example. Think of truth and honesty. What is honesty without kindness? Ooh. Haven't you ever seen the truth being told like a weapon? Yeah. Or what's charity without kindness? It could become pity. What is compassion without kindness? Is there even such a thing? What is integrity without kindness? Well, you know, it sort of becomes rigid. What is volunteering without kindness? What is spirituality without kindness? And today we can ask the same question of what is the law of cause and effect when we take kindness out of it? It becomes reduced to a simplified legalistic teaching of tit for tat, this for that, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So without kindness, it becomes a teaching that says each person is responsible for everything that happens to them. It's their fault. When in reality, life is so very much more complicated than that. We can do better than that as a teaching. But to be clear, I am a student of metaphysics. I love Science of Mind, and I am fascinated by the relationship between what I think and feel and believe and how that tends to play out in my life. I really am fascinated in that. And at the same time, I'm also very clear that some of what I think and feel and believe, I didn't even know was there. Some of it's cultural. So it was invisible to me. Some of it was inherited. I didn't even see it. Not until I began to explore it as an adult. And not only that, I am super clear now that we are in this together. All of us at the same time, thinking, feeling, believing together. So we share responsibility for everything that is happening here and now. It's nobody's fault. Or I could say it like this. So if there is poverty in my neighborhood, and this can be difficult for some metaphysicians to hear, if there is poverty in the world, I am part of that. Even if I don't experience it personally, and if I don't personally experience it, maybe that means I am in a position to do something compassionate and kind that relieves it. Again, the law of cause and effect states that everything is connected and that our choices have consequences, and that what we think and feel and believe, we call that our consciousness, that what's in our consciousness has a sneaky way of rolling out into reality. Now, when things are going well, that's a terrific law. You know that relationship I've got with Kevin? I created that. Yeah. I visualized it. I affirmed it. Felt it. I claimed it. I embodied it. I attracted it. And here it is. Yay, consciousness. But you know, when things are not going so well, it's a little more difficult to digest all of that, you know. When misfortune arises, there I go. What did I do to create that? And like my dog Cooper, maybe you're like this. We roll over, you know, legs in the air, belly up, saying the shaming question. What did you do in your consciousness? Huh? We can do better than that as a movement. We can do much better than this. It is sad that it has been the case in our history that people suffering setbacks have been made to feel bad, because the implication is that they are solely responsible for their circumstances because of what is in their consciousness. I think that is a simplification, an oversimplification of the law of cause and effect, because it does not take into account so much. For example, it does not take into account the consciousness, the feelings, thoughts, and beliefs of the group mind. You know that machine that is creating society? The society that we are born into, that we live in. So metaphysics is not to be used to blame people or ourselves when circumstances are not as they ought to be. If anything, metaphysics ought to inspire us to love and to care for and to help those who are facing challenges. So instead of asking, what did you do in your consciousness? Perhaps our focus ought to be, what can I bring into play now? What seeds of kindness and love and tolerance can I sow now? What can I share and give and be and do and help with now? You know, setbacks are one thing. You know, I've created plenty of them, a lot of them with my own thinking. Haven't you? No? Again, just Chandra. Yeah, setbacks are one thing. Yeah. But institutionalized oppression is another thing altogether. And it is something that no one individual creates all by themselves, for themselves, on purpose. An example of oppression on an institutional level would be a society that believes that one gender should have more rights and privileges than another. That's an example. Another example is a society in which people of a certain race are denied access to opportunities and so on. So it would be quite unkind for someone to say to a person born into a culture that restricts their rights and ability to thrive that the fault is with their thinking. We can do better than that as a teaching. I think we've got to learn to ask instead, however things got to be the way they are, what can I develop in my mind now that will result in liberation for all? What can I contribute to the world now that will lessen suffering for all? How can I use the law of cause and effect not to accuse, but to improve? And caring for those who do not have access to what they need is called charity. In Islam, it's one of the pillars, you know. Charity is considered to be obligatory on the spiritual path. The two forms of charity in Islam, the obligatory one and the voluntary one. There's a form of charity that can be given as a smile, as a listening ear, as being there, helping hand for a neighbor. In other words, it brings kindness right in. Hindu scriptures too, they list the qualities of the spiritual person. First quality, self-restraint. Second quality, compassion. And third quality, charity. And charity is hardwired into the Jewish faith too. And in Judaism, charity is esteemed as being as important as all of the other commandments put together. And interestingly, in Hebrew, the word charity means something more like righteous action or justice. Justice. I mentioned those faiths because I have a question today. So, what do we have in our science of mind teaching that is similar? Well, we don't have a mandate to give to the poor. We don't have a mandate to give a percentage of our income. We don't have a mandate to volunteer to help or to even be kind. However, hidden inside the teaching of the law of cause and effect is this idea that it is up to those of us who can to bring to the world more of what we want to see in the world. It's not a mandate. It's a logical result of correctly understanding oneness. We don't have a mandate because we know how important it is to be moved by inspiration and not through the pressure of shame and blame. Again, we do not have a mandate to give, to help, to share in science of mind, because it is assumed that the one studying science of mind and its radical teaching of oneness will naturally come to see and love and cherish our connectedness, and then giving and caring and helping will be a natural outcome. Our founder said this about it: the one who understands the science of mind will be tolerant, kind, and empathetic. There you have it. So, if I am not tolerant, kind, and empathetic, if I am not giving and caring and helping, I might want to explore oneness all over again. I might want to go back to the first principle of science of mind and check it out. I'm remembering when I first came to science of mind, oh my goodness, I didn't have much to offer in caring and giving and helping because I was in so much crisis. So much change in my life, you know. And I remember struggling with this teaching idea of giving because I felt so empty. And I remember a teacher at the time, she said to me, she told me something I have never forgotten. She said, "Edward, when things in the world in your life are contracting, that is no time for you to shut down. That is the time for you to throw open the windows of your heart," she said, "by using the easiest, most beautiful, and most effective way to get things going again," she said, "and that is to give. Activate your natural compassionate center and set that cause in motion." And I was like, "What?" I told her, "I don't have anything to give, certainly not enough to give away." And she said, and this is the part I'll never forget, "Edward, never think of yourself as someone who has nothing to give." She said, "Edward, it is never about the amount. It is about the attitude and feeling behind the action." She said, "Edward, never underestimate the power of even a single dollar given with an attitude of hope and cheer." She said, "Edward, never undervalue the power of a simple act of kindness to enhance the world. A smile, a compliment, a random act of kindness." See, what she didn't say was, what did you do with your consciousness? How did you get into this mess? Instead, she said, let us see what we can do now. Let us begin sowing new seeds of freedom and compassion. Now, you see, she met me right where I was without blame or shame, and she inspired me to dream bigger and to open my heart and to begin to trust the power of kindness for the world's sake and for my own. Again, there is no mandate to be kind in Science of Mind. It's voluntary. You can, however, expect that if you study Science of Mind, you will become a grateful giver and a source of help. You will become a lover of life, and you will become an advocate for hope and courage and vision. You will. A love that I can give. I love that the center gives me the opportunity to give. I love that we support nonprofits that are doing the sort of work that empower people to remember who they are. And I was looking through some of them, you know, like COTS 572 Lives, that is, has the goal of rehousing so many people impacted by the fires, and the Dogwood Animal Rescue Project. I'm picking on Chandra today. She nominated that one. And the Jace Foundation that helps families who have suffered abduction to heal again, and Positive Images that provides advocacy and support for Sonoma County's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, asexual, and intersex youth. And Share Sonoma County, that matches individuals who need housing with a senior who otherwise would not be able to remain in their home. And Shasta Regional Fire Relief Fund at Sonoma, what is that one called? The Food Runner, that helps to share excess food with people who don't typically have access to it. That opens my heart, you know. That's why I love to give. And again, I remember, there's no mandate to give or to participate or to care or to help. It's optional. Or is it? I challenge you. Just try studying oneness and see if you can avoid caring. Good luck. I invite you to breathe in with me and exhale, letting your eyes close. As in this infinite moment, we each in our own way turn our attention to that which is the eternal presence, the living spirit, the heart of creation, that which unconditionally embraces all that is, that to which there is no opposite or other. And feeling it today as our home, as my home, as the place where my heart beats and where my mind thinks, I realize that this is a sacred moment. That this moment that we are sharing is a point of creation in the mind of the Creator. And so respectfully and mindfully and with a feeling of love, I declare my openness, our openness, to receive the understanding of how to best be an advocate for oneness in this world. I feel that through this prayer, all false ideas dissolving, so that I may come to a better understanding of what it is that is alive in me and thereby recognize it everywhere around me. I let my heart rise up to that compassionate connection, and I trust it to guide me safely and surely on the path of kindness. This fills me with joy. And so I rejoice in it And I fully expect that now, having spoken these words, for something new to be established in my life. This is according to spiritual law. And so today, I am expectant. And together we say, and so it is.